that you find in Quran, my dear brothers, when your mind is open for this, when you are really looking for that. You know, Quran itself, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala itself has said in the Quran, يُضِلُّ بِهِ مَنْ يَشَاءُ وَيَهْدِي مَنْ يَشَاءُ. From this Quran, from this very Quran, Allah guides people and misguides people also. From the same Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala misguide people and guide people. So how is that? How is that possible? So Mufassirin says, it is based on the intention of the reader. Is he looking for guidance or he is looking for misguidance? You know, these false prophets in recent era, those who claim prophethood. Na'udhu billahi min zalik. You don't even want to mention their names. They use the same Quran to prove their wrong false prophethood. They're reading the same ayat, they're reading the same verses of the Quran and proving their falsehood, false prophethood. So from the same Quran they got misguided, from which was revealed to guide the entire mankind. So my dear brothers, that's why I'm urging everyone that we need to look at our intention every time when we come for tafsir, when we sit in the bayan. We need to recheck our intention. With what intention we are listening to this? That I want the share of guidance I have in this Quran. This should be the intention. When you have that, then each and every ayat will struck in your heart. Oh yes, this is what I needed to hear. This is the solution of my problem I'm going through. This is what I really need to understand. Right? Then it will hit. Otherwise, my dear brothers, you will hear the whole talk and it will be just entertaining for some time. And you will go back the way you have came. Hidayat will not increase. Iman will not increase. The ta'alluq with Allah will not increase because you had no intention for that. So inshallah, listen to that, listen to all of this with that intention. Allahu Akbar. So previously, last Friday, we discussed this ruku, last ruku of the 12th juz, and that in that ruku we discussed that Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam was locked in the jail, was in prison, and during that time the king saw the dream, and nobody knows what the interpretation of that dream was. Nobody could tell that dream, the meaning of that dream. So while it was discussed amongst the court, the members of the court, this one slave of the king who was released from the prison and who was told by Yusuf alayhi salam that you're going to be released, he remembered. وَدَّكَرَ بَعْدَ أُمَّتِهِ. This is what Quran says. He remembered Yusuf alayhi salam after a long time. So he said to the king, okay, I know a person who can tell this dream. فَأَسِلُون. You sent me. You sent me to the prison. You allow me to go to the prison. I know a person there who can tell dreams, who can interpret dreams. So he was given the permission and he went all the way back and he told Yusuf alayhi salam the dream of the king. So the interesting thing in the last previous session was that if I ask a person a favor and he totally neglects me, forget about me, and after a long time he comes back to me and asks me for a favor, what do I do? What do I do? But here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is teaching us the characteristics of the prophets. High moral ethics. That here Yusuf alayhi salam is locked in jail for more than 7 years just because of this person forgetting about him, not telling the king that there is an innocent person locked in the jail. After all this time suffering, this person comes back to Yusuf alayhi salam asking for the dream, and Yusuf alayhi salam never says anything, never tells him, you know, now you remember me. Now you are reminded about me. And you want me to tell you your dream? You want me to do a favor to you? He never says anything. On top, he doesn't only tell the meaning of the dream, he even tells them what is the warning there in the dream, and he even tells them the solution of that problem was. وَلَا تَسْتَوِي الْحَسَنَةُ وَلَا السَّيِّئَةُ اِذْفَعْ بِالَّتِي هِيَ أَحْسَن. This is what the teachings of the Quran. This is Islam. This is our deen. That bad behavior, good behavior can never be equal. Whoever has done wrong to you, give him good behavior in return. And we all are after revenge. You have said one thing wrong to me, I will say two things wrong to you. You throw a rock at me, I will throw a brick at you. This is the idea we are living with, my dear brothers. Now, one bad comment on Facebook, see what happens. see the fight. One just bad look of a husband to the wife or the wife of the husband. Now, look what happens then. Why are you looking at me like this? I said salam, you never returned my salam to me. So my dear brothers, what Allah said, if you do good to those who do wrong to you, what will happen? What will happen? فَإِذَا الَّذِي بَيْنَكَ وَبَيْنَهُ عَدَاوَةٌ كَأَنَّهُ وَلِيٌّ حَمِيمٌ. Allahu Akbar. I'm going totally off the track. But this is what it is. This is the great, this is what Islam is all about. This is how Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam made the nation believed in Islam, brought people, attracted them towards Islam. This is all his life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. People kept on doing bad to him, and he is returning good. He is returning all good. He's returning all good. Allahu Akbar Kabira. So Quran says that the one, if you do good to the one who has done wrong to you, so the one who had enmity for you, this same enemy will turn into a waliyul hamim, not a friend, a best friend. He will turn like the closest friend. He will become like a closest friend to you. I did bad to him, he is returning good. What? Allahu Akbar. One of my family members, she said to me in this department she worked in, that these co-workers are bothering her. Right? What should I do? I said to her, one day, the same co-worker who bothers you, one day, take some extra lunch and give half of your lunch to him, to her. How can I do that? I said, then suffer what you're suffering through. just try this once. The one who is doing wrong to you, just do it to him. See what happens. So this is what Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam did. Those same people who did wrong to him, he did, as soon he got a chance to do good to them, he did good. And good upon good. There's numerous stories in the times of Sahaba. There's no time. Otherwise I would have explained. Anyway, so this is what happened this was the most interesting part of the previous session. That how Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam returned them with good. So after all of that, when the king heard the story, when king heard the meaning of the dream, he realized, okay, this is a very wise person who told this dream, and he told the whole issue we are about to face, and he told the whole solution also. If you see, he just don't mention the dream. He mentioned the whole idea, whole problem they are about to face, the drought they are about to face, and how can they will manage that to go through that drought. The whole idea was mentioned. So when the king heard all of that, he realized, okay, this person, how can he, this excellent of a person who has so many great qualities and knowledge, how is he locked in the jail? Bring him to me. So right away, if you see the next ruku, he says, وَقَالِ الْمَلِكُ تُونِي بِهِ, bring him to me. But Yusuf alayhi salatu salam, this is where we ended last time, he said, I'm not going to come out like that. Have you ever seen or heard about a prisoner who doesn't want to be released? He doesn't want to be released. Even the king is asking him to come, get out of the prison. He doesn't want to be released. Because, my dear brothers, the Anbiya, the Prophets, they have this great responsibility of introducing Allah to people, the truth to people, the reality to people. And to complete that mission, they have to have a clean and pure record of their life. A clean character of their life. So because of all this, what he had went through, it had made a false dot or stain on his character. So he said, no, first clean my record up first, then I will come out. So he said, قَالَ رَجِعْ إِلَىٰ رَبِّكَ, go back to your Lord. فَسَأَلُوا مَا بَالُ النِّسْوَةٍ, and ask him to investigate whatever had happened with me. So I just don't want to come out like that. I want to be clean and then I will come out. I want my case to be investigated properly and get released from my case, then released from my prison. Not like that, just the king have called me out, so I will come out. No. So this is where we ended. So the last ayat. So what happened, everybody, as we discussed last session, that the king called all the ladies. Quickly, I'll mention, I'll summarize, or called all the ladies. And the king asked them the matter in such a way that they realized that the king already knows what the truth is. So the king did not say what happened, what was the matter of Yusuf. He did not say that. Look at the question of the king. The question of the king is, مَا خَطْبُكُنَّ إِذْ رَاوَدْتُنَّ يُوسُفَ عَنْ نَفْسِهِ. What was your matter when you tried to seduce Yusuf? The question itself is telling that the king know what the reality is. So they right away got scared. Our matter is already exposed. So they say, قُلْنَا حَاشَ لِلَّهِ مَا عَلِمْنَا عَلِيهِ مِنْ سُوءٍ. We do not know any evil of him, about him. He is all clean. So in that moment, Zulaikha, the wife of the governor, she was also present there. So when she felt that the matter has been all cleared and the evidences are all there, so she herself felt that way. This is one thing. And second thing is, when Allah wants to prove someone's truth, He Himself makes people say the truth. Allah khud zamane jari kar dete. Who's controlling this time? So Allah Himself made her say the truth in front of all the court. She was also present there. So she said the truth in front of everybody. Can you imagine? A woman, a wife of a husband, a governor, accepting her sin in front of the whole court of the king. What did she say? قَالَتْ إِمْرَأَةُ الْعَزِيزِ الْآنَ حَسْحَسَ الْحَقِّ أَنَا رَاوَدْتُهُ عَنْ نَفْسِهِ. I am the one who did it. She clearly said it. أَنَا رَاوَدْتُهُ عَنْ نَفْسِهِ. I am the one who seduced. I am the one who tried to fulfill my bad intention with him. وَإِنَّهُ لَمِنَ الصَّادِقِينَ He is amongst the truthful people. So anyway, after all of this, what happened? When the matter was all cleared and the case was all proved in his favor, then Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam said this. Let's read the translation, literal translation, and then I'll explain inshallah. Today, now this is where we ended last time. So today we are starting from here. ذَلِكَ لِيَعْلَمَ أَنِّي لَمْ أَخُنْهُ بِالْغَيْبِ So Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam said, I did all of this, holding myself more in the prison and having my record clear, I did all of this. لِيَعْلَمَ أَنِّي لَمْ أَخُنْهُ بِالْغَيْبِ So the governor, whose wife tried to seduce him and who was his master, he was living in his house, he should know, he should believe, he should know truly, أَنِّي لَمْ أَخُنْهُ بِالْغَيْبِ That I did not betray him in his absence. I did not do anything bad to his wife in his absence. وَأَنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَهْدِي كَيْدَ الْخَائِنِينَ And indeed Allah never leads the scheme, the bad scheme, the guile of people towards success. You know, bad schemes, bad planning, bad thoughts, you know, bad intentions, they never get to success. They can never lead you to success. And then after that, after proving himself right and innocent, he told a truth to people also. When That after proving himself innocent, he did not want it to people praise him, or he did not want it to think good about himself. To do that, to clear that arrogance off, he said this: "Wama ubarri'u nafsi inna nafsa la ammaratun bisu." That I do not absolve my inner self for any blame. It's not like that. I am not blaming myself at all. It's not like that. Because man's inner self, this nafs that we have, inna nafsa la ammaratun bisu. This inner self of a person always incites him towards evil. Always incites him towards evil. La ammaratun bisu. You know, we don't know the linguistic, the literal or the grammar of Arabic, otherwise we would have, you know, we would have really get the right attraction of this kalam, of this words. You know, Ammara, Allahu Akbar, one is fa'il in Arabic. One phrase is fa'il. Like we say, Khalid. Allah is Khalid, the one who creates. One phrase in Arabic is fa'al, who keeps on creating. Khallaq, yeah? Inna rabbaka huwal khallaqul alim. Yeah, keeps on creating. About human beings, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, what did he say? Kullu bani adama khata'un, not khate. That each and every human being, they do not just commit mistakes, they keep on committing mistakes. So then Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he did not say wa khairul khata'in at-ta'ib. No. What did he say? At-tawwabun. So one is ta'ib, the one who repents. But Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said what? The best of the mistakers are those who keep on making tawbah. We think the tawbah is only for 29th night of the month of Ramadan. When the imam finishes the Quran, that's the only time we'll make tawbah. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, after being clean from all sins, labeled of maghfirat is already to him. Ma taqaddam min dhanbika wa ma ta'akhkhar, everything is forgiven. After all of this, all of that, Every single day he used to do Tawbah for 70 times. 70 times Tawbah every single day. Sahaba used to say, when he used to talk to us, when he used to sit with us, we could count easily the many times he is saying Astaghfirullah more than 70 times. Astaghfirullah, Rabbi, Astaghfirullah. This is the situation of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. What about us? 29th, we wait till the 29th, we'll make tawbah then. So anyway, so what he says, the inner self of a person keeps on inciting him towards bad, towards evil. Illa ma rahima rabbi. Unless Allah shows his mercy upon a person. This inner self, I'll go in the detail, let me finish the translation, inshallah. Inna rabbi ghafurur rahim. Indeed, my Lord, He is most forgiving and most merciful, very merciful. وَقَالَ الْمَلِكُ اُتُونِي بِهِ أَسْتَخْلِصْهُ لِنَفْسِي. So the king said, after all of this, when the king heard all of this, what Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam had to say, after hearing this, the king said, bring him to me. أَسْتَخْلِصْهُ لِنَفْسِي. You know, خَالِص, this is a word in Urdu also. Khalis is something pure. So the king said, I shall purely employ him for myself. Okay, imagine how much king liked him, how much inspired the king is from him. فَلَمَّا كَلَّمَهُ. Then when he came, so the king talked to him. كَلَّمَهُ, kalam. When the king talked to him, قَالَ إِنَّكَ الْيَوْمَ لَدَيْنَا مَكِينٌ أَمِينٌ. After the talking, the conversation took place, the king said, indeed you are today well placed over here, and you are totally trustworthy. Ameen. Makin, you're going to be well placed here, and you're going to be trustworthy. We will totally trust you now. So when Yusuf alayhi salam saw that the king is totally inspired and he is giving me place in his court and he is trusting me, so he said, قَالَ جَعَلْنِي عَلَىٰ خَزَائِنِ الْأَرْضِ. So Yusuf alayhi salam, he said, assign me over the treasures of the land. Finance minister. إِنِّي حَفِيظٌ عَلِيمٌ. Indeed, I am most guarding. I can keep guard of the land, of the treasures of the land. I can guard, and I am knowledgeable also. وَكَذَلِكَ مَكَّنَّا لِيُوسُفَ فِي الْأَرْضِ يَتَبَوَّأُ مِنْهَا حَيْثُ يَشَاءُ. In this strange way, وَكَذَلِكَ means, in this strange manner, we gave power to Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam on earth. He got authority and power. Now he can settle himself anywhere he wants. Like the king, he can go anywhere he wants. Wherever he wants in the land, he can go. He can settle himself. This blessing and this mercy, we can shower on whomever we want. This is what Allah is saying. Nusibu bi rahmatina man nasha. We can give this mercy to anyone we want. وَلَا نُضِيُّ أَجْرَ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. But we are giving you this idea that this mercy from us, who gets this mercy? Muhsineen. Those who are righteous in their deeds, we never waste their effort. We never waste the effort, the reward of those who do good deeds, who are righteous in their deeds. And then on top of that, on top of that, وَلَا أَجْرُ الْآخِرَةِ خَيْرٌ لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَكَانُوا يَتَّقُونَ. The reward they are going to get in the hereafter is far better. خَيْر is what? Far better. For who? For who? آمَنُوا وَكَانُوا يَتَّقُونَ. Those who believe and they keep on observing taqwa. They keep on staying away from sins, from the disobedience of Allah. So my dear brothers, two, three things I want to mention quickly before the time ends. There is something which are very great lessons in this ruku. Now, last time we covered almost one page, but this I only did the translation of half a page because it has a lot of things needs to be discussed. First thing, what Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam said, "Wa anna Allah la yahdi kaydal khainin." Right? He said, "Allah never guides and Allah never leads the bad scheme towards success." It will never happen in your life that you live a sinful life and you don't get punished. Everyone, small, the children, the elders, everyone needs to understand this. You know, there were some good times, there was some good era back in the days. As soon a person used to get hit with some calamity, his mind used to go towards his deeds. Oh, see, I did this, that happened. Now when we get hit with calamity, we say, this person's evil eye has struck me. Oh, that person, he did some black magic too. Nobody thinks what I'm doing in my life. Nobody thinks that how much haram I'm committing for my eye. For my tongue, all day long, ghibat, backbiting is taking place. Irrelevant stuff all the time. Zina with eyes, zina with ears, all the time. But whatever calamity happens, because of that. You know, and this sheikh, he said a person came to me and he said, "Maulana Sahab, I never do anything wrong, but still my life, I'm suffering from these problems. I never do anything wrong." So Maasa said, "Do you offer Fajr?" He said, "No, I don't offer Fajr." Fajr ki namaz to nahi padta. I don't offer Fajr. But I don't do anything wrong. I don't know what wrong is that. Sometimes Allah punishes a person right away as soon he commits the sin. This comes in a hadith. Everyone please pay attention. This is something really important. This one sahabi, he was walking, coming towards the masjid. And he came to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And his forehead was bleeding. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked him, "What happened?" Allah. So he said, "Ya Rasulullah, I was coming towards the masjid. And on the way, I saw this woman whom I knew and she knew me in the days of my ignorance. So she started calling me towards her. And I also started talking to her while walking. I kept on talking, and I realized there was a wall before me. And I slammed into the wall." And this is how this blood is coming out. You know what did Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam saying? Is everyone listening? He said, "Ida ahabba Allah, ida aradallahu bi khairin, ida aradallahu khairan, ajjalahu Allahu al-uquba." Aw kama qala alaihi wasallam. When Allah wills good for someone, Allah punishes him quickly. And Allah wills good for a person, Allah punishes him quickly. Saza jaldi mil jati. Ye Allah ki taraf se balai ki alamat. Because my dear brothers, we see this all the time in the society, and I get to hear this a lot. Masab, this person, he is doing all the haram in his life, and look at him. How much he is enjoying his life. This person, he is earning haram, he is day and night indulged in haram. And look, he is keep on progressing in his dunya. The things around him are keep on changing, keep on getting better. Huh? This is what Quran says, my dear brothers. فَلَمَّا نَسُوا مَا ذُكِّرُوا بِهِ فَتَحْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ أَبْوَابَ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ. This is the greatest, this is the most dangerous situation a person can be. that despite having sins in his life, he is progressing in his dunya. Most dangerous person can be. Because you know what is going to happen to him? Allah will not punish him. Allah will keep on giving him, keep on giving. And Allah will cause him death without repentance. Baghar tawbah ke marega. Without repentance, he will leave this world. He will not even get a chance to turn towards Allah. We need to be really fearful about this. So this is all of this comes in one. Allah la yahdi kayda khayni. And then, my dear brothers, you know, Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam said this. It has two meanings. One is he did all of this in the court. He hold himself into prison, and he wanted to be clear, and he wanted those who did wrong to be exposed and himself to be proved as innocent, because he wanted to give people this lesson. See, they did betray, they did committed the sin, now Allah exposed them in front of everyone. And one another meaning what Mufassirin has written about this ayat is that he want himself to be proven as innocent, so people will not think, look, he betrayed, he committed a sin, and he also became a king. He didn't want people to have this lesson that through the door of sin you can get higher levels. No. I'm innocent. That's why I got all of this, what I'm getting from the king. Everyone understand that? So, but that, my dear brothers, after this, the next ayah, the first ayah of the 13 juz, it mentions about the nafs. Now this nafs thing, it has a whole discussion. We have only 10-15 minutes left. I don't know how I'm going to cover this. But quickly, every one of us has nafs, this inner self, right? So, how do I say? One is this body that we have, which is made out of flesh and, you know, bones and all that. One is that ruh that we have, soul, the order of Allah. But the third thing that we have is this nafs. Me, myself, inner self. This is the third thing that I have. Once Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he mentioned, I never heard that hadith before. Just today I learned this. Ajeeb, strange. He said to the companions, what do you think about a friend of you? The more you provide comfort to him, the more good food you give him, the more clothing you give it to him, the more comfort you provide him, the more he hurts you. The more he destroys you. And the more you discomfort him, the less you give him food, the less food you give him, the less clothing you give him, the more wrong you do to him, the more better he does to you. So everybody said, Ya Rasulullah, it's a worst of a companion, worst of a friend. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, every one of you has this friend in you. This is called nafs. The more we provide food for him, the more we fulfill his desires, the more it takes us away from Allah. The more it takes away from Allah. Then Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said it three times out loud, clearly. Your greatest enemy is your own nafs. Your greatest enemy is your own nafs. Inna aada aduvika baina jambay. It's between your two sides, yourself. Shaitan, one alim I was listening to, he said, Shaitan's traps are very weak. You know what Quran is saying? Inna kaida shaitani. Allah himself is saying, traps of shaitan are very weak. Very weak. But the traps of this nafs, even Nabi is saying, Yusuf alayhi salam is a prophet. He's saying, I don't claim anything about my nafs. My nafs can put me down also. It's always... So my dear brothers, quickly, there are three types of nafs mentioned in the Quran. One is mentioned over here. Nafs-e-ammara. So every one of us, since our birth, we are given this type of nafs. Nafs-e-ammara. This is the original form of nafs, right? We see it, if you take a look at the human history, the kind of crimes are committed by human beings are not committed by any other creation, are not committed by any other creature. If you look at the Islamic history, when you read this time and era of, those who came to Baghdad,
Mongols,
right? There's Genghis Khan and all these, right? Can you imagine? Can you possibly imagine? You know, we cannot even see a dog being slaughtered. They slaughtered actually 600,000 Muslims. Slaughtered. Gardano mein chuniyan chala. The whole city was flowing with blood. This is a form of nafs-e-ammara. When you don't control this to this extent, it takes a person. Even worse than animals. Janwaron mein bhi kuch insaniyat hoti hai. But this nafs-e-ammara, oh. You see, we have these kind of people, we have these kind of children. Just keeps on thinking about bad stuff. All day long, you know, tonight I'm going to do this, tomorrow I'm going to do that, tomorrow night I'm going to do this. It just keeps on planning of what? Sins. Sin after sin. It's just no thought of good deed comes into his mind. Is everyone catching up with me, no? What I'm trying to say? This is called nafs-e-ammara. So when you don't work at it, my dear brothers, when you don't teach yourself the good ethics, you don't teach yourself the ta'alluq of Allah, the fear of Allah, this is where this nafs will take you. Sometimes you people come to you, I just don't know, why did I say that? I don't know, why did I do this? Brother, it's your nafs doing this, you're not doing it. It's addicted to sin so much now that you yourself don't have control on yourself. You just do it out of your addiction. I just cannot come for salah. I just cannot. But my nafs is addicted with the house, you know, with not going. So anyway, when a person works on it and teaches it iman, teaches it the ta'alluq of Allah, then the next level comes. What is the next level which is mentioned in Surah Qiyamah? La uqsimu. لا أقسم بالقيامة ولا أقسم بالنفس اللوام. When it graduates and gets close to Allah and gets trained, see, this nafs never dies. Is everyone listening? This nafs will never die, will never leave you alone. All you can do is you can train it. You can train it. Like a person has a dog. So person can train it. A trained dog. It starts to listen to you. You ask him to sit down, he sits down. You ask him to get up, he gets up. You throw something, he goes and gets it for you. Trained. This is all you can do with your nafs. You cannot kill it. You know, just I recite something, I get protected from shaitan, so I get protected from nafs. No. Never gonna happen. It's gonna be always with you. So you have to train it. So when a person trains it, it gets into the second level. What is that second level? It is called lawwama. What does lawwama mean? Every time when it sins, it hurts. Every time it sins, it feels ashamed. It feels regret. Alhamdulillah, we can say we all have that kind of nafs. Right. That at least it hurts when we sin. When we disobey Allah, when we don't go to masjid, when we don't recite Quran, when we don't do good deeds, it hurts. I'm doing wrong. So this lawama, lawama is from lawm, right?
Malamat,
right? To blame, it blames itself. It blames that you're doing wrong. You should do tawbah. So that's a higher level. At least it knows that it is doing wrong. And then when a person keeps on training it, keeps on training it, keeps on doing the good a'mal, and keeps on staying away from sins, and keeps on learning deen, keeps on getting close to Allah, and keeps on learning the love of Allah, then what happens? That this nafs gets trained with good a'mal so much that it becomes content with good deeds only. This nafs finds contentment only in the masjid, only in the order of Allah, only in the remembrance of Allah. It becomes content with the obedience of Allah. Starts hating the sins. This nafs will call what?
Mutmain.
Ya ayyatuhan nafsul mutmain. Third nafs. This is the highest level. That Allah calls out to it. Ya ayyatuhan nafsul mutmain. That nafs which has become content with the orders of Allah. May Allah grant all of us that.
Amen.
May Allah grant us all of that. Imagine if a person, the way we find joy and fun in the sins, how about if we start to find all of that in the obedience of Allah? How about if I just say Allahu Akbar Salah and I just don't want to say Assalamu Alaikum? What a life is going to be. But my dear brothers, that mutmainna, how do you get it? Allah Himself, He mentioned. He said, Ya ayyatuha nafsul mutmainna, irji'i ila rabbika radiyatan mardiyya. What is the first command to it?
Irji'i.
No. After that? Fadkhuli fi ibadi. You need to get into my people. You need to join my slaves. You need to join those people who have this nafs-e mutmainna. Where you will find them? In the malls? In the markets? Walmart? Oh, that's why we are asked to come to masjid. Come for Eid Salah. This is the place of angels, my dear brothers. In masajid are the houses of the angels. Angels are always there. So when we accompany them, their qualities transfer among us. I will end with this, the quote of this one Shaykh. Allahu Akbar. He used to say that bring people to masjid, to the house of Allah. So by being in the feathers of angels, hidayat come, hidayat and the right understanding of deen and itminan with contentment with the orders of Allah comes into their heart, like by being the egg in the feather of the chicken, life comes into that chicken. Life comes into that egg. It's a dead egg, but by just being in the feather of the chicken, life comes into it. The same way hidayat will come when we will stay in the feathers of it. Everyone will try that. اللهم إنا نسألك من خير ما سألك من نبيك وعبدك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم ونعوذ بك من شر ما سألك من نبيك وعبدك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وأنت المستعان وعليك البلاغ ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم وصلى الله تعالى على خير خلق محمد. So inshallah we have some snacks and tea outside inshallah. Everybody is requested to dance. Don't go home without eating.